desire your prayers tonight. We have a burden on our heart. So we need the Lord to help us deliver it. It's your choice, but you will have to live with it. I want to talk about choices tonight. You and I make choices every day. We make good choices sometimes, and sometimes we don't make such good choices. But the Lord wants us to make the right choice when it comes to living for Him, working for Him, doing things for Him. And tonight, I want to ask you, what choices have you made in this meeting? Have you made choices that has been something that has been pleasing to God? Or been something that would be a blessing to others, to yourself? Or have you made choices that has been the wrong choices? Let's go to Matthew 22 and 1, please. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, first verse. 22 and 1. We desire your prayer. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come into the marriage. They made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He sent forth his armies, he destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as you shall find bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. So when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, John 6 and 44, to tie in with this one scripture, John 6, chapter 44, verse, he says here that No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day. Now I know probably you get tired of the ministers getting up here and saying certain things maybe over and over. But when we read it straight out of the Word of God and give it to you as we feel the Lord wants us to give it to you, then you have a choice to make. You may not like what I say. You may not like the way I deliver it. You may not like the tone that I deliver it in. But the bottom line is, you're going to have to make a choice. You have no other choice but to make a choice. You're going to make a choice, good or bad. You're going to make a choice, right or wrong. You're going to make a choice, and that choice is going to be something that could affect you for the rest of your life, or the rest of eternity, or both. Now then, he's saying here that they have a king. King had got a marriage for his son, and he sent forth and so forth. You know, tonight, back in, what was it, a year ago in May, they had a royal wedding. And then I believe the other day, they had another royal wedding. And I got to thinking about royal weddings. They make such a to-do about England and the royal weddings. Well, that's all right. I'm not doubting that. The brides are beautiful. The men are handsome and everything. And they throw this big to-do and have a royal wedding. But I got news for you. There's some real royal weddings. And these royal weddings go around all around the world. And that is when the Lord has somebody that is willing to marry Him. When He and them come together in salvation and the Lord blesses and helps. The Lord redeems and washes and brings them up and out and puts a wedding garment on them and blesses them. He does something for them that nobody else can do. And there they are. They're all prepared. They're married now. They're married to the greatest individual. Now, Prince William's all right. Well, I can't think of his brother. He's all right. Then nothing got married. I can't even think of his name. Knew it. Didn't even know he existed. And these people are all right. But I got news for you. I married one named Jesus. I married him 40-something years ago. And I'm very content with my marriage. I married Rebecca. I had a good marriage with her. I'm married to Molly Dell. But in between and all these years, I've been married to one that named Jesus Christ the Righteous. I want to tell you tonight, you can have a royal wedding. Praise God. You can marry somebody that is the greatest, finest, lovingest, kindest individual that you could ever be married to, linked up with, have a relationship with, one that will go with you and do things for you that no wife or husband can ever do. Thank the Lord for Jesus Christ tonight. Thank the Lord that I chose Him 40-something years ago. Now then, it goes on down here in the last verse that I read, the 14th verse, said many are called, but few are chosen. Now that sounds a little bit harsh, doesn't it? Many people call, but few are chosen. Why is that? Why is the few chosen? I'll tell you why. Because the people do not choose Christ. When He calls them and works with them and deals with them, maybe over and over and over, down through maybe a period of time or maybe a lifetime, and they keep rejecting Him over and over and over and turning Him down. Listen, folks, tonight, people say, well, God don't want to send, or God won't send a person to hell. No, God don't send a person. You send yourself, because you didn't choose to marry Jesus. You didn't choose the royal wedding. You didn't choose the one that can deliver you and bless you. You took, just like a man when he approaches a lady and she does not want to have anything with him. She ties his hand. Lord help us tonight. She ties his hand where he can't do nothing. I'm going to tell you, you can tie Christ's hands if you will not have a relationship with Him. And you will be a person that will go all life with the wrong choice. The wrong choice over and over. You will deal with that. You will be in a position that you would not be in if you would choose Him to be your king, to be your companion, to be the one to love you and take care of you. I'm thankful for what He does. But it said many are called. He gives a call. How many of you have been called in this meeting? In one way or another. If the president was to call you on your smartphone, how many would answer it? How many would do that? There was a man in Oklahoma right here that had got and supposedly killed a man over in the war in Iraq or whatever, and he had gotten into trouble, and they prosecuted him. They put him into prison for a while, and then they got him out of prison. And anyway, President Trump, he decided he would call this man and totally pardon this man in every way. Well, the man was on the phone, and he saw that this number come up. I believe it said the president or whatever on that. And he's sitting there, looked at that. He couldn't believe his eyes, but he's talking to his father. So he put it off a little bit. And then he called the president back. He said, I never dreamed the president would call me. That'd be quite a call, wouldn't it? But I'm going to tell you, the greatest call is a call from Christ. The greatest call that you and I can have is the call from Jesus Christ, inviting you to be His bride, inviting you to be with Him, inviting you to have a life that you can't have otherwise. No man can come unto me except the Father would send me draw him, and I'll raise him up in the last day. Listen, folks, we can put it off 1 second too late. You can make a choice of 1 second. Well, that's not much time, but you can make a choice and lose your soul in 1 second, so to speak. Oh, tonight, many are called. What's been your call in this meeting? Has He talked to you and dealt with you? In one way or another, Not just maybe salvation, but what about sanctification? Or what about moving up in the Word of God and learning a new doctrine or whatever it might be? And the call is just talk to you and work with you and deal with you. And yet you're pushing back and hindering him and holding back. Listen, folks, tonight it's wise. When he calls, when he deals and when he works, the fastest, best way for you to do is to answer that call and say, "Thy Lord speaketh. I'm listening, Lord. I'm listening. I want to do what you want me to do." Let's go to a scripture in Joshua, 24th chapter and 12th verse. This is one of the most famous scriptures, I guess, in the Bible. Joshua 24 and 12. He said, "And I sent the hornets before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I've given you a land for which you did not labor, cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards, which you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore," he said, "fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." Now he's saying here, "And I've given you." The Lord was good to old Israel. He gave them things really in a sense that they didn't deserve because of the way they treated him. But he gave them the best of the best. Tonight, he's got the best of the best for you. Has there ever been a time that, brethren, that you went out to buy maybe a tool or, a tool to work on a car, but then you got tools that you can use like an install and carpenter work and so forth, and you ever bought that and you chose it out and this is going to be just what I want and get it and use it and you really don't like it? Have you ever done that? Or maybe you go and buy something and choose something out. And in the janitorial business, I had a laugh at Sister Connie this afternoon of what she said, because I can put myself in her shoes knowing that what the janitor knows in the house of the people that we clean. We know a lot. We know where things are at. I told Molly one time, I said, "Well, I pretty well know, because certain things are certain places in certain houses. You just learn that after so many years." But I have gone in homes and I've served these people, so to speak, and cleaned for them off and on for many, many years. And I look at the things that they have, the faucets, the lights, the bulbs, different things. Look at it, consider it, and weigh it. And then I've actually used that in my decision of choice when I was building my houses or replacing. So consequently, I had an inside edge. But yet, there is times that you can choose something and you really don't like it. You really don't like it. But I got news for you tonight. The Lord's got the best. No matter how you look at it, there's going to be trials and tribulations. I don't want to put this message high that nobody can live it. But the bottom line is, Jesus Christ tonight has the best life, the best land, the best everything that you and I could ever have. He has the best, and he's calling you to the best, praise God. He wants to give you things that you will not have otherwise. He can give you the finest home, the finest land. I'm talking about literally now. He can give you fine cars. He can give you money in your bank, a good job, a good companion, good children. He can give you many, many things that nobody else could give. I want to tell you to choose Christ tonight. I want to tell you to choose a life that is far above. Been serving Christ out since 1971. And I am thankful to the life that He's given me. I don't have a big mansion, but I do have a nice home. I don't have big Cadillacs and Lincolns, but I do have nice cars. And it's because of the Lord. It's not me. It's not my wife or my past wife. The bottom line is it's Jesus Christ. He has given me things and done things that have been beyond and what I could ask or think. And he says, and I've given you a land for which you did not labor, cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and oligarchs which you planted not, do you eat. I've been good to you, children. Anybody in here, how many of you can say the Lord's been good to you? He's been good to you, hasn't he? Sister Nellie, he's been very good to you. There's a lot of people out there that God has healed and blessed, heart, soul, mind, and body tonight, that they'd be in a grave if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, He's good to us tonight. That's the reason I want to say choose Jesus Christ. Choose His way. Choose His life. Get in a relationship, a marriage relationship with Christ. And the closer you can get, the better you'll like it. Praise God. And then he goes on down. And he said, now therefore fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now he was putting them in a tight spot, wasn't he? What do you want? What do you want tonight? I want to ask you. I want you to put it on the table, so to speak, and I want you to look at it. What kind of life do you want? Do you want the best? Or do you want something? Well, you don't know, Brother Carl. I could end up being this or this. You might, but you may end up way far down from what you could have. Tonight, the best life is with Jesus Christ. The best life is living for God and serving Him in sincerity and in truth. And he says there, he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. They had bounced around, done all kind of things. So he just flat brained down, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I've made my choice. I've made my decision. Listen, folks, tonight, it doesn't need to be just a light decision. It don't need to be a flighty decision. It needs to be the type of decision that Brother Marty preached the other night. Lord, fix my heart in such a way that I'm going to choose Christ and I'm going to stay with Him all of my life. Praise God. Listen, young folks, you've got a lot of years. If the Lord would allow you to live all the years, you can live for many, many, many years for God and be blessed all down through your life. But you can go the other way and you can have heartache after heartache after heartache, pain after pain. You can end up in places that you never thought possible, because sin will lead you further and take you further down a road than you ever thought possible. Choose life tonight. Choose Jesus Christ tonight. Choose the one that's the greatest individual that you can live for and die for and work with in every way. Said, but it's me and my house. What about you tonight? We want to serve the Lord, he said. I want to serve Christ. Let's go to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1 and 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long? You simple ones, we love simplicity. And the scorners delight in their knowledge. No, delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also. Now listen, everybody. There gets to be a place where this thing can turn on you. You can think everything's going real well, and it can turn just like that. You can be in ever what you consider good health. And there have been a lot of people that's ended up in hospitals. There's been a lot of people that was in accidents. There's been a lot of people that had things happen to them that turned the whole situation around in a moment's time. And here you are. You need God. And he said, but you have said it not, all my counsel. You had none of my reproof. I reproved you. I dealt with you. I called you. And you would not do it. You refused it. He said, then I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear for evil of evil. Now he said here, when your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. How many of you have ever been in a tornado? How many of you has ever had one bearing down on your property? Ever so often with the Weather Channel, I hear some stories of those, and in the last few days, I've listened to some of them, and the sirens were going off, the television was saying take cover, and all the different things that they were trying to warn the people. And I'm thankful today we get to see pictures of tornadoes now that we didn't used to see. The one that was up in Kansas was a mile plus wide last night. Think about that, a mile wide. That can do extensive destruction. We've had one that big in Oklahoma a few years back. That was a huge tornado. And this thing is bearing down. You know something is wrong. Are you going to be just cool? I'm going to use a word here, cool as a cucumber. Or could there be a little fear? Could there be a little anguish? Could there be something that, what's going to happen? Is my house going to be destroyed? Am I going to be killed? And that's the time that a lot of people want to start praying and start talking to God. I was in one. It wasn't bearing directly down on my house. And I didn't even know it was in the area. My wife never told me. All I knew is that Earl had been down. He had been helping me. We sent him on his way. I rode back up the house on a bicycle. I done a thing or two. The trees started whipping. Wife said, let's get inside. We went inside. They took the girls to the innermost place in the house. And she told me to do this and this. I didn't even know to be scared because I didn't even know there was a tornado anywhere. All I knew is trees was going like this and things were flying in there. I thought, what's going on? Well, it's a strong wind. But when the trees started coming down and when things started being destroyed, you could see then that it was more than just maybe a little light wind. But there is people that are going through that. You say it will never happen. It can happen. It can happen. It can come right at your house. There have been saints that have had tornadoes bearing down on them. They've had hurricanes bearing down on them. There have been things that's been happening as far as storms or fires. And they prayed and God has stopped it, turned it, turned the winds, whatever he needs to do to protect them and take care of them. But what happens if you're not in the place where you can get a hold of God, folks? He's laughing at you. He's not listening. His eyes are over the righteous. Ears are open under the prayers. But listen, folks, when a person is sin sick and they've rejected and refused the very reproof, the very counsel, the very invitation, the very call from the mighty Jesus Christ himself, and we turn that down over and over, then he can laugh at your calamity. And you're there. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. It matters tonight what we choose. If you never chose anything but Jesus Christ, that's the best decision you can make in your life. If you never had to make any more choices but that, when he called and you said, "Yes, Lord, I will serve you." Has anybody in here ever had the Lord call you and you responded on the first call? I'm talking about salvation now. That you responded right then. Most of us don't. I didn't. Most people don't. He keeps calling. He keeps working. He keeps convicting and dealing. And finally we begin to yield and begin to see and begin to understand that the best way is to get out of the mess we're in and get with Jesus Christ and live the life that'll be a blessing to us. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. You talk about horrible, folks. But God loves me. God's a God of wrath, folks. He's a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. You can take and you can turn him down. You can reject him, and he can reject you. And when Jesus Christ rejects you, that's the greatest rejection you'll ever have. There is no rejection will get close to the rejection by Jesus Christ. So consequently, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Who are you going to serve? What is your mindset? Which way do you want to go? How deep do you want to get? What great wedding do you want? Praise God. The Lord wants to bless you tonight. He wants to help you. Choose. He said there, but for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 66, 3 and 4, to go along with that. He said, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. And he that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. And their souls delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and choose in that in which I delighted not. Abomination is anything that the Lord hates. That can be a long list of things. So consequently tonight, he said, yea, they have chosen their own ways. Are you choosing your own way tonight? Are you pushing back? Are you saying, I don't want this? I don't want to live for God. I don't want to be sanctified. I don't want to do this or that or the other. Whatever the call might be. He said, I want you to choose. And you're choosing, all right, but you're going like that. You're not choosing the right way. He said, but I also will choose their delusions. Bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes. Are you doing evil in the eyes of God tonight? You might not be doing some things that other people do. But the very fact you're not living for God is offensive. The very fact that you're turning down is offensive. The very fact that you're going the way you're going, unsaved, is offensive. The wrath of God is riding right on top of that right there. Choose that in which I delighted not. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that choose in the wrong way, and God's not pleased with that. Let's go to Luke 14, chapter 25th verse. Luke 14 and 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said to them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower, set it not down first, counteth the cost whether ye have sufficient to finish it. Now then, he said here, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, and brethren. In other words, what he's saying here is he wants you to choose him number one over everybody else. I love Molly, but I love him better. I've lived for him and worked for him and done things for Christ, and my relationship with him is top number one over everything else. So that's what he's saying. Love him the greatest. Choose him over everyone else. There is people here that a girlfriend may be hindering them, or a boyfriend may be hindering them, or maybe mama could be hindering, or daddy could be hindering, or maybe the children could be hindering. And they think, well, I can't do it because of this and this and this. The Lord wants you to hate them, so to speak. Love them less than him and choose him first. Choose his life above everything else. Choose his way above everything else. Choose him over these girlfriends and boyfriends. There has been people among us that were out in sin. Brother Leslie being one of them. He had a worldly girlfriend, but he came to the place that he was willing to stop that and live for God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad he did it. He was a blessing to me over and over down through the years. And I appreciate his mentoring and his work with me. Standing, had his hand on my back, was a blessing to me many, 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 many times. And the bottom line is, if he hadn't done that, I would have never had that. You could be a blessing too. But there's going to be things you may have to give up to do that. Well, I don't want to do that, Brother Carl. But I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of men and a lot of women in the world that has marriages that's not any good. You may not see the depths of it, but there is a lot of satin sheets, so to speak, and satin pillows that's got a lot of tears on them because of the fact of the companion that they're married to is going this way or that way, doing this or that, and they're not centering on that companion, and consequently the pain and the anguish of the one that's laying there crying while that other person's out doing their thing. You want to choose a life like that? Maybe they're down in the bar. Or maybe they're drugging. Maybe they're not chasing another woman or being involved with another man. Maybe they're doing other things. But the bottom line, their marriage is not. There's a lot, one brother said, there's a lot of silent divorces. You know what that means? There's a lot of, the life ain't what it's supposed to be behind closed doors. In other words, they don't have that. That intimacy and that love and that gentleness and that tenderness and all of that closeness that you should have in a marriage. There's a lot of silent divorces. I'm going to tell you, I thought about what that brother said. I thought, yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of truth. It could be even among us. I'm going to tell you tonight, choose him. Choose him above everybody else. Choose him above the father. Choose him above the mother and the wife and the children and brethren and sisters. Listen tonight. You've got to put him number one. You've got to choose him and keep him and lift him and exalt him, admire him, respect him, fear him, reverence him. You've got to do that above everybody else. Yea, and his own life also. Uh-oh. Now you don't understand, Brother Carl. Well, maybe I don't, but he does. You've got to hate your own self. In other words, you've got to give yourself to Christ, hate yourself enough. You put everything, including you, on the altar and turn loose and let go and surrender and give all to God and say, Lord, I don't love me, I love you. I'm crucifying myself, I'm dying to self, I'm doing everything that I need to do, and I'm not going to live the life that I could live. I'm going to live for you. Are you willing to do that tonight? Are you willing to turn it all loose? But a lot of people love themselves. That's the problem. Self-love's caused a lot of trouble in a lot of ways. There was a man one time, home we cleaned, 10 to 12,000 square feet. It was a beautiful home. Had two laundry rooms, one at one end and one at the other because it was so big. It had two dishwashers. It had a lot of things that most homes don't have. It had everything as far as the range and the exhaust hood and everything was so wide. It had a griddle on one end, a deep fryer on the other, and a six-place stove top in the middle. Everything up here was stainless steel. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Well, Paul had a daughter named Paula. She had married a young man, and the father-in-law had taken him into the business and made him everything he was. He had a nice home, he had a nice car, he had a pretty wife, they had children, I guess they had two or three cars, one of them was a Porsche. He had a big two-story home, lived in a nice neighborhood, probably quite a bit of money in the bank. I don't know about that exactly, but I do know what they drove, and I do know understand what they lived in. I saw him walking down a hall one day, and the hall was long, and I just watched him. And he had pride spilling out all from him. His very walk was a proud walk. His very look, so to speak, was a proud look. And the Lord said he hates a proud look. And he was doing that. And I thought, if you only thought who give you everything you've got. Think about it. Jesus gives every one of us everything we got. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. He has mercy and gives food. He gives cars. He gives land. He gives homes. He gives things to people. And maybe they don't even deserve it at all. And people think, oh, this is all mine. No, everything belongs to God. We're just a mentor over it. Or what are you going to call it? And we're not really the owner of it. It all belongs to God. Steward, there you go. A steward over it. So tonight, we've got to hate ourselves. We have got to put ourselves in the place where we ought to be. And that is at the foot of the cross, looking up at the great Savior. Be like Mary. Be down at His feet saying, Lord, this is where I want to be. Oh, tonight, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Oh, tonight, where are we at? Where are we at tonight? Are we rejecting the call? Are we rejecting what He's wanting us to do? He wants to bless us tonight. Let's go to 11 and 23 of Hebrews. 11 and 23 of Hebrews. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ better riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had recompense unto, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyeth the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Now, Moses here, he was in a powerful position. He was brought up and put in a position that he could have had a lot of things if he had wanted it. But yet it said he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Choosing. Lived in a nice home. Eat good food, drank good drinks. He had a wonderful life being where he was at. But he got a call. He had to make a choice. And Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy In other words, he came to the place where he was willing to give up what he had. Listen, folks, I don't know what you'd have to give up. But whatever it is far inferior to what you're going to get. If you just get salvation and live that all the rest of your life, well, I'd have to give up this and this. Like I said, there's people been giving up girlfriends and boyfriends, maybe giving up. Remember the rich young ruler, wasn't it? He come to Christ and the Lord told him, he said, well, you know, calling me good and so forth. And he said there, he said, but... how'd he put it there? He said, you're coming to me and I want you to sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And he didn't do that, for he said he had great riches. He was a good young man. He said, I keep this and this and this and this. Listen to that. There's a lot of good young people in here. I'm not saying they're not. I love you and I appreciate you. But I'm going to tell you, there's a deeper life. There's a higher way. But you're going to have to choose what Christ wants you to choose to be able to have that. You're going to have to be willing to surrender. You're going to have to be willing to give up. He could have had the greatest riches of all riches in Jesus Christ, but he chose his own riches. It never says anywhere that that young man got saved. He went his own way away from Christ. Which way are you going tonight? Are you coming to, or are you going away? Moses, he chose rather to suffer affliction. Are you willing to do what you need to do than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? Listen, folks, sin only lasts, and other pleasures of it only last so long. You can go to ball games, you can hoop and holler, and you can have tailgate parties, and I don't know much about that stuff. And you can do all those things, but then when you go back home, you got to face the same life that you had before you went to the ball game. Tonight, where are we at? You need to choose Christ. You need to do like Moses. He was willing to give it all up for Christ. For the people of God. He became somebody that was a great leader for God. I want to tell you tonight, the Lord wants to make a leader out of you. I'm not talking about maybe a minister, but He wants you to lead in your home, if nothing else, brethren. He wants you to be the right husband. Wives, He wants you, or girls, He wants you to get married, and He wants you to be the right wife. Somebody that can lead and guide and direct the children. Somebody that can teach them and work with them down through the years. Let's go to, well, I want to go to Acts. Let me see, it's Acts 21, I think. I didn't look this up. Let me find it here right quick. I want the one where Paul was dealing with the king. It was King Agrippa. And King Agrippa said, go your way, and then another time I will choose this. He didn't use the word choose, but... where is that at? 17, 18. As I didn't look that up. I've had that on my mind. Anyway, Paul was dealing with this man. And he was working with him. And this man was a very horrible king. He was a very bad person. And Paul preached unto him temperance. Come on, give me the rest of it. Temperance wasn't one of them. And justice maybe. And he would, huh?
Judgment to come.
Judgment to come. Where's that at? Acts 20. Well, I'm not finding them. I'm not seeing. I know where I think it is, but I'm not. 20 and 28. No, that's not what I want. Is it 28 and 20? No, that's not that one either.
Acts 24:25.
Alright, that's what I want right there. Alright, thank you. It said, after certain days, when Felix came with wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled And he answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should be given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Portantius Festus came to Felix's room, and Felix, willing to shew the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now he said here, like I said, this was, according to what I studied on this, this king was a bad king. And as he reasoned of righteousness, listen, this meeting, any meeting, basically, if it goes very long, you're going to deal with righteousness. You're probably going to deal with temperance, and you're probably going to deal with judgment to come. Different things are preached in the meeting by different ministers. And so consequently, Paul laid it out. You know why Paul preached what he preached? Because it hit right where this man lived. The Lord has hit right where you live in this meeting. There had been people that have come to meetings, and they've sat there, and the minister got in the pulpit. One of them was Brother Sammons one time. There's a man listening to him somewhere. I don't remember where it was at. And he was there, and he had a friend with him, and Brother Sammons laid it out, and that man said, he is, looks like he's talking straight to me, and he don't even know me. I'm going to tell you tonight, the Lord's speaking. He's been speaking in this meeting. He's been dealing. And he was dealing with righteousness. He was dealing with temperance. He was dealing with judgment to come. And Felix actually trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. There is never recorded that he had a convenient season. Tonight, he had his chance right then. He was being called. It was being laid out. It was a time for him to choose, and he chose the wrong thing. I'm going to tell you tonight, in a sense of the word, there probably will never be a convenient season. In a sense. In other words, if you keep rejecting and thinking there's going to be a better time down the road, the better time is now, not later. Choose you whom this day you will serve. Choose him now. Don't wait till later. The longer you go, the harder it will be. The tighter the binds will be. The tighter the chains will be. The harder the life will be. If we keep putting it off, the further down we'll go, and the more horrible sin we can get into, and the things that are there, and you're going to have to deal with it someday anyhow. And the best day to do it is choose it right now. Don't keep putting it off. All right, let's go to 1 Kings 19 and 19. 1 Kings 19 and 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plying with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow thee. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? He returned back from him. He took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and he ministered unto him. All right, let's go to 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings 2 and 1. And here is the story where Elijah and Elisha. And the bottom line was, the one wanted something. He wanted a double portion of his spirit. And he said here, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, and I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said to him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they come to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet that were there, that were at Jericho, came to Elijah and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away from thy master, take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered and said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said to him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. Came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back and he stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now, you have to admire the one would not be pushed off. He said, you do this, I'm going to go over here. He said, no, I'm going with you. Listen, folks, tonight, if we're going to live for God, we're going to have to follow him all the way. No matter what happens, we're going to have to get in there and stay in there. If you want something tonight, I want you to choose what you want. And I want you, there's been ministers that have, well, people, not just ministers, but saints, that say have put in for sanctification and not got it the first time. Maybe they got a little discouraged, but they wouldn't quit. He wanted a double portion of his spirit. He wanted more of God. He wanted more power. He wanted more authority. What do you want tonight? We can go on our way, but I'm going to tell you tonight, God wants you and I to have everything he wants for us. The greatest that he can give us in power and authority to be able to live the life that he wants us to live. Like he's been preached in this meeting, I'm going to tell you tonight, he said, I want a double portion. And he stayed with him until he got it, praise God. I want to tell you, you might not get it the first time. You might not get it the second time. But I want to tell you, if you're wanting sanctification, I want to beg you tonight to put in for it again. Go out and launch out in the deep and don't quit till you get it, praise God. Press on, pray on, look on for a double portion of the power of God whereby you can be everything Jesus wants you to be tonight. Amen. There is people that get discouraged and they don't do what he did. They end up being discouraged and maybe quitting, giving up, going back. But he wouldn't quit. He said, I want it and I'm going to stay with thee all the way. I want to tell you, you're going to have to stay with it to get it. All right, let's go to Isaiah 65. Let's finish up. Isaiah 65 and 11. Isaiah 65 and 11. But ye are they that forsook the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword. You shall all bow down to the slaughter, because I've called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. My servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the formal troubles are forgotten, because they are hid from mine eyes. Now he said, but they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish a drink offering unto that number, therefore will I number you to the sword. This is a little bit of repeating of what I've said, but I want to drive home the point tonight. You're going to have to choose God. If you don't, there can be real disaster in your life. Look around, folks. Paul Harvey made a statement one time, if every generation learned and done, in other words, the generation behind us, the mistakes they made, the things they did, if we would learn from that and go forward and do exactly what needs to be done, we could prosper and go on quicker. Well, you need to do that. You need to look at what all is this happening. All this sin, all this corruption, all these things are out there. Our world has done nothing but gone into a great slide downhill. And it's greater now than it's been. I'm not an old man, but I ain't a youngster anymore neither. I've seen a few things. I've lived through a few presidents. I've seen governors and secretaries of state, so forth. I've seen what these people have done. I've seen the mistakes they've made. I've seen the anguish that has come from some of the laws and the things they passed. Instead of doing the right thing, they've done the wrong thing. You need to look at what is happening around you. You need to look at those people that have lived in the depths of sin. You need to look at the alcoholics, if you want to even think about that away. You need to look at those that smoke and see what happens to them. You need to look at those that drug and look and consider and weigh out, and you need to choose the best way. They chose the wrong way. They chose the way that is destructing them and destroying them and doing them great damage. We need to look at that, young people. You need to run for your life. You need to say, I don't want that way in any way, bless your heart. I want to run. I'm going to run. I'm going to run to Jesus and choose Him and live for Him. Praise God. Tonight, He said here, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear. But did evil before mine eyes and did choose that wherein I delighted not. What are you doing tonight that the Lord is not happy with? Have you got something hid? I preached a little bit on this the other night. There is people that have things hid. They think nobody knows about it, and maybe they don't. But God knows. You can't cover. You cannot cover up anything. Achan tried to cover it up. It didn't cover. You can't cover it up neither. You're going to deal with it. And you and God is going to deal with it. The end of every man's life is God. You're going to meet Him and deal with Him. If you're doing something that He is not delighted in, that He's not pleased with, you will deal with that someday. Time to deal with it now. Time to deal with it while the Lord is working. In these services, in this meeting, it's time to deal and move and be what God would have you to be. All right, let's close in Deuteronomy 30 and 15. Deuteronomy 30 and 15. See, I've set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods and deserve them, I denounce you. I denounce unto you this day, and you shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, unto Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Now he said here, I set before you life and death. I have tried to do that in the message tonight. Lay it out, look at it. Blessing and cursing, but therefore choose life. Therefore choose life. Listen, folks, there's thousands of people in hospitals tonight that is very sick, and they're choosing literal life or natural life. They're doing everything they can do to live. I know of a man, 83 years old, if I remember right, and he had lived a very good life, very healthy life, and he got up and he started having some heart issues, and he was not able to do nowhere near what he used to do. And so he went and they talked to the doctors and they had counsel and everything, and they said, now if you have this operation, I will say that you will be able to, 70% chance, I think it was, that you will be like you was before. Let's go for it. So they did. He lived through the operation and he died in the recovery room. He wanted that life, see? Listen, natural life means a lot to every one of us. But the greatest life that we ought to really be concerned about is spiritual life. That should be the number one thing right there. We're too interested in this right here. We need to be interested in God, Christ, the Holy Ghost, spiritual life, heaven. And think about hell. I've set before you life and death. I want you to choose life. Blessings and cursing. I've laid it out tonight by the Word of God. I'm not bragging when I say that, but I've done it by the Word of God. And listen, folks, tonight, if you go on and you make the wrong choice, hell could be your end. Don't make that wrong choice tonight. Make the right choice. Choose life. Choose life by Jesus Christ. He said there, Brother Marty brought out, I think today, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. Christ is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so consequently tonight, you can have life if you will. Let's stand, have a number, appreciate your time and attention tonight. Pray for me.